Ave Maria Radio and Renewal Ministries presents Fire on the Earth, a compelling look at the new evangelization through inspiring teachings, interviews, and testimonies. Here's your host, Peter Herbeck.
Happy Ash Wednesday, friends. This is Peter Herbeck, your host. We're beginning this great season of Lent. I hope you have a chance today to make it to church to receive your ashes. And why do we receive ashes? I love the line when the priest makes the sign of the cross on the forehead, which was, I remember, even in early childhood receiving ashes and what a big deal it was. I said, remember that you are dust and to dust you shall return, that life is short. It's a passing shadow. You're here today and gone tomorrow. It's a perspective moment, and that we're destined to die, which none of us want to do. We don't even want to think about, but it's coming. It's coming for all of us. And the key is, and what Lent's about, is asking the question, are you ready to die? That's one way to look at Lent. Are you ready to meet the Lord? The church helps us in every way she can during this season to prepare ourselves, to ready ourselves to meet the Lord, and to walk in the footsteps of Jesus. And we do that now in the season of Lent by imitating Jesus, who fasted and prayed and did spiritual warfare and spiritual combat against Satan in the desert right after he was baptized in the River Jordan. And so, as I mentioned yesterday, the church reminds us that this is what Lent's about. We're imitating the Lord. We're following him. But it's talked about as a penitential season, a season in which we do penance. You know, what's penance? Penance is acts of mortification or devotion performed voluntarily to show sorrow for sin or other wrongdoing. We want to be able to communicate to the Lord. We want to get real, especially the beginning of this season of Lent. One of the fundamental things the church leads us into is to get real about sin, about what sin is and the power of sin, how deadly it is, and to be able to acknowledge freely and honestly how attached we are to sin. The whole Christian life is a journey. It's a spiritual combat. Again, this season reminds us of that. What did Jesus do in the desert? He went to make war on his mortal enemy. He went to destroy and to begin to break the hold and the power of the devil and to declare his personal freedom over the devil. Jesus, who now is, the Bible calls, the second Adam. Thinking back now to the first Adam in the garden, in paradise, who was tempted by the devil to disobey the one command that God gave him, and being tempted by the devil to be like God, to doubt God, to mistrust God, to seek independence from God, and to become like God on our own power and our own resources. That's the same spiritual battle we're fighting today. Why? Because when Adam and Eve said yes to the devil, when they fell to that temptation, they were seduced by him, sin entered the world. And sin is a break from God. Sin is a refusal. It's missing the mark. It's refusing to do what God has called us to do and be what God's called us to be. And sin's deadly. Sin ultimately kills us. What does it do? It kills the spiritual life within us. It separates us from God. And Jesus came to deal with that sin problem, which he knew what it meant. It's interesting. Jesus is a particular kind of Messiah, the Catechism tells us. He came for a particular reason in love. To do what? He came to die. Isn't that interesting? Jesus came to die. And in dying the way he died, is his victory. Jesus came to become a sacrifice for sin. Jesus died your death, my death, but most of all, Jesus made his life an offering and sacrifice to God. What hundreds and hundreds of years of temple sacrifices couldn't do, the offering of lambs and goats, the blood of lambs and goats could not do to really deal with the sin problem in the human race. The pure, holy, eternal Son of God, who is, as John the Baptist said, is the Lamb of God who takes away the sins of the world. Here's the one alone. Here's where the sin problem that dominates the human race is taken care of. It's in the person of Jesus Christ, who comes to lay down his life and literally to the point of death, live in obedience to the Father, and to give to the Father on our behalf what belongs to the Father, what belongs to God. He did justice to God. And none of us can, because of sin, on our own resources. And in this world, in this fallen world, the flesh, the devil, in this fallen world, the human race is in, every day, is in spiritual combat, whether we know it or not. Those who know it are those who have begun to resist it under God's grace, through his help, through baptism and through life in the church and through the teaching of the church and life sacraments, the community, life, and mission of the church. We know how serious and how difficult the battle is because maybe for the first time in our lives, we're actually trying to engage the battle. C.S. Lewis had this image. He said, well, when you're walking into a stiff headwind in an open field, you will experience full force the strength of that wind. But if you're lying flat on the ground and that wind is blowing right over you, you won't experience its full force and you'll misjudge what it is. But that's because you've laid down and you're not walking against it. Same thing can be applied in battle. If you surrender, you're not going to experience the full force of the army that you're set against. But if you go into battle, when we landed on Normandy, when the U.S. Army, the Allies landed on Normandy, they began to feel the force of their enemy. The devil's strategy, if we're in that posture of being passive or laying down and not taking the spiritual combat seriously, he'll leave us alone because he knows, for the most part, he'll at least be stealth and he won't come after us aggressively because he knows we're already on a path if we're not under the Lord's protection. If we haven't come to terms with our need for Christ and entered into life with him and stand equipped, the devil's happy to be hidden at that point because we're already enslaved and all we're going to do is go deeper. If we're not battling, we're surrendering. If we're not fighting each day, we're going to lose ground. There's no way around it. Dead men float downstream, as Archbishop Fulton Sheen said. Again, there's another place. You don't know the force of a current of a river unless you're walking against it. But if you're just floating along with that river, which is what happens with the power of the world, the flesh, and the devil together, connive to make us slaves. And if we don't resist it, it's going to lead us, it's going to carry us, and it's going to lead us to a destination right off the cliff. And so the church models for us and calls us to take up now in this season, remembering who we are, that we really are soldiers of Christ. We're called into spiritual battle. And we need to follow in the footsteps of Jesus and realize that, he was so clear when he said, if you want to follow me, you're going to have to deny yourself and take up your cross and come after me. In this case, to come after Jesus is to follow him, as it were, into the desert and to engage in the spiritual conflict. To take up your cross is to get serious about your battle against sin. So the Catechism reminds us this season is our imitation of Jesus and his battle with the devil in the desert. So I'd just like to read Luke's account, chapter 4, of that today, and then we'll break that down a little bit more tomorrow and maybe on Friday. It said, "And Jesus, full of the Holy Spirit, returned from the Jordan," that is, from his baptism in the Jordan River, "and was led by the Spirit for 40 days in the wilderness, tempted by the devil." Let this season of Lent be a time of being led by the Spirit. You too, if you're baptized into Christ, you too, if you're confirmed in him, you too are filled with the Holy Spirit. And the Spirit's come to counsel you and to give you power and strength to overcome the work of the devil in you, to break the power of his hold on your life. The Spirit is dead serious, ready to go. Your guardian angel, the angels, the saints in heaven are interceding. Everybody's ready for this season. Are you ready? It's a very good question. For 40 days in the wilderness where Jesus was tempted by the devil, goes on and said, "And he ate nothing in those days. And when they were ended, he was hungry." So make note, after 40 days, when Jesus was at his weakest point, the devil had been circling and circling. When he's at his weakest point, then he comes after him to attack him. The devil said to him, "If you are the Son of God, command this stone to become bread." And Jesus answered him, "It is written, man shall not live by bread alone." And the devil took him up and showed him all the kingdoms of the world in a moment of time and said to him, "To you I will give all this authority and their glory, for it has been delivered to me, and I give it to whom I will. If you then will worship me, it shall be yours. How about that? The gall of the devil. So we see these two temptations initially. The first one is he's going after Jesus' point of weakness here. He knows he's hungry. He's going to say, okay, scripture says you can turn stone into bread. So do it. God said, command this stone. And what does Jesus command? And this stone shall become bread. So he's challenging Jesus' identity as God's son. And he's challenging him in a point of weakness to demonstrate his power at the enemy's challenge and the enemy's command. Verse 4, and Jesus answered him, it's written, man shall not live by bread alone. And then another translation, by another passage in the Gospels, by every word which comes from the mouth of God. Jesus will touch on that theme at various times during his ministry. He'll say, my food is to do the will of him who sent me. And then verse 5, the devil now takes him up, shows him all the kingdoms of the world. And he says to him, these are mine and the glory. So to tempt him with the glories of this world. And he said, I can give all of this to you. Of course, everything belongs to Jesus. The devil is the prince of this world, and there's dimensions of this world that certainly he has a hold of. But Jesus has everything, right? Jesus, all things were made through him and for him. And the devil wants him ultimately, and he reveals what he's after. You can see what moves the devil. The devil said, I'll give you all of this if you worship me. I mean, that in a nutshell is what the devil's after. What the devil's after in your life, my life. Worship me. Bow down. And his goal is to enslave us to sin, lead us to darkened minds, darkened wills, in total bondage. He'd love to get us into a place where not only committing sins, but those sins take us into an ever darker place, to the place of desperation, we're actually despairing. Not only discouragement, but really ultimately to absolute despair. He'd love to see each one of us take our own lives, cut them off from God, and to be his, and force us for all eternity to be at his service. Verse 8 goes on, it said, and Jesus answered him, it is written, you shall worship the Lord your God, and him only will you serve. So the devil's using scripture to tempt Jesus, twisting it, and Jesus stands and declares the truth from God's word, you shall worship the Lord your God, and no one else. How many people in this world have been tempted by the devil to say, if you follow in my footsteps, essentially if you obey me, you know, without even literally knowing that's happening, but saying yes to sin in order to gain something in this world, it's that same temptation. And he took him to Jerusalem and set him on the pinnacle of the temple and said to him, if you're the Son of God, throw yourself down from here, for it is written, he will give his angels charge of you to guard you, and on their hands they will bear you up, lest you strike your foot against a stone. And Jesus answered, it is said, you shall not tempt the Lord your God. And when the devil had ended every temptation, he departed from him until an opportune time. We can talk more about those temptations tomorrow. But he also left, and he keeps circling Jesus because he wants to find his weakness, hopefully to lead him to slavery. And that's what the devil wants to do with each one of us, which is why we must embrace this season of vigilance and go after it with our whole heart. God bless you, friends. Have a great day.
Each program of Fire on the Earth with Peter Herbeck can be downloaded at AveMariaRadio.net and RenewalMinistries.net. Fire on the Earth is a production of Ave Maria Radio.
Friends, I'd like to offer you my new booklet, Light in the Darkness. We're living in difficult, unsettling, and even dark times. We're engaged in a spiritual battle that is intensifying. I wrote this short booklet to help you understand the nature of the battle we're facing and help you lay hold of God's abundant grace for you in these challenging times. If you'd like a free copy of my new booklet, call 1-800-282-4789. That's 1-800-282-4789. Or go to our website at renewalministries.net/FOE, where you can also listen to past episodes or subscribe to our podcast.